Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. Hey, Golden Age fans, it's January 26, 2006. Welcome, everybody, to the Golden Age of Comic Books. This is Bill Jourdain, your host, and we're very glad you're here for the 33rd installment of our show. Well, we've got a pretty good show this week. We're going to talk about the great Fawcett superhero known as Spy Smasher, so stay tuned for that. But before I talk about Spy Smasher this week, I wanted to mention a book I've been reading that I think is really great and something that any fan of the Golden Age of comic books would enjoy, and that is the new Marvel Masterworks, published by Marvel in late 2005, reprinting the first four issues of All Winners comics. I've talked about All Winners before when I did our team-up show several months ago, and All Winners was just a great book. It contained stories of the great Marvel superheroes of the Golden Age, and they were all in single episodes in the early issues, individual episodes, very similar to the stories in All-Star Comics with the Justice Society of America. And then later on they teamed up, but Marvel has been playing catch-up to DC Comics in reprinting its Golden Age material, and I'm very pleased to see that they have taken on publication of the All Winners books. Now, this particular book is very similar to the other Marvel Masterworks Golden Age books you might have seen. Some have reprinted Marvel comics and so on and so forth. But this book's real nice. It has an introduction by Roy Thomas, and then it kicks off with the very first issue of All Winners comics that appeared in the summer of 1941. That book started with a Human Torch story by Carl Burgos entitled Carnival of Fiends. Then it had a Black Marvel story called The Order of the Hood by Stan Lee, Al Vision, and Al Gabriel. Then it had a great Golden Age Captain America story, The Case of the Hollow Men by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby. A text piece followed called All Winners by Stan Lee, a Submariner story by Everett, and then an Angel story, The Case of the Mad Gargoyle by Paul Gustafson. And then number two, which came out in the fall of 1941, kicked off with another Human Torch story, Carnival of Death. We've got all kinds of carnivals going on in the first two issues of All Winners comics with the Human Torch. Again, that was by Burgos. Captain America story follows The Strange Case of the Malay Idol by Simon and Kirby. Destroyer by Stan Lee and Jack Binder. Winners All by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. A Wizard story, and a Submariner story, The Ghost Fleet. And then All Winners number three is reprinted, and all of these stories and all of the information in this book is real nice. It's reprinted, the color's good, easy to read, so on and so forth. Number three, that was the winter 1941-42 issue, kicks off with the Human Torch. Not a carnival story this time, but it's called The Case of the Black Dragon Society. Captain America story, The Canvas of Doom. Interestingly, the Captain America story is credited to Stan Lee and Al Avison, not Simon and Kirby. Then there's a Wizard story, Terror Prison, by Stan Lee, Mike Sikowski, and George Klein. Jungle Drums then appears. And then a Submariner story, The Ship of Horrors, by Everett. Destroyer, Secret Tunnel of Death, by Stan Lee. And then finally, All Winners Comics number four appears in this Marvel Masterworks, and that was published in the spring of 1942, and the Human Torch story that kicks it off is The Terror of the Slimy Japs by Carl Burgos, and of course, that title is probably not politically correct these days, but it certainly reflected the mindset of the comic book readers and the general population back in the spring of 1942, while we were in the midst of World War II. Then a Captain America story, The Sorcerer's Sinister Secret, without credits given for that story. A Wizard story, Crime on the Rampage by Howard James. Miser's Gold with no credit. A Submariner story, Combat to Sinister Horde by Bill Everett. And then Destroyer, Death to Nazi Scourge. Now, interestingly, the covers on these particular All Winners books, these four books, are credited to Alex Schomburg, Jack Binder, and Al Avison. Of course, Schomburg is one of the really great Golden Age cover artist. If you've ever seen his work, you would recognize it immediately. So I would suggest that if you are interested in reading some additional Golden Age material of the well-known Marvel characters, the Submariner, the Human Torch, and Captain America and Bucky, go out and pick up this particular issue of the Marvel Masterworks for the All Winners Comics, and you won't be disappointed. And they reprint everything in these books, everything that appeared in those All Winners issues, even the front covers. They even have some house ads reprinted showing the other books that were coming out during that time. So a lot of interesting Golden Age information in here that anyone who is a fan of the Golden Age would enjoy. Of course, the artwork and the writing style is certainly not similar to what we see today, but those of us that love the Golden Age of comic books enjoy that style probably more than we enjoy the current style. So check out the Marvel Masterworks for All Winners Comics Volume 1, and I think you'll enjoy it a lot. All right, well, let's shift our focus this week to one of the great Fawcett superheroes from the Golden Age of comics, Spy Smasher, who was created by Bill Parker, who took on the writing chores, and C.C. Beck, who was involved with and in charge of the artistic chores in the early days of the Spy Smasher. Of course, Parker and Beck were also credited with the creation of the other great Fawcett superheroes of today, including Captain Marvel, who we covered in a previous podcast. But the Spy Smasher was a very unique and interesting character. He made his first appearance in Wiz Comics number 1, which had no number on the cover, and on the inside of the book it indicated it was issue number 2. The following issue was number 2, so this was Wiz Comics number 1. And that was the February 1940 issue. Spy Smasher was a man named Alan Armstrong, and he had no superpowers like Captain Marvel, but he did have the ability to fight and create wonderful gadgetry and was very intelligent, sort of similar to the Batman character over at DC Comics. Alan Armstrong was the Spy Smasher before his first appearance in Wiz Comics number 1, and his adventure in that book started out where he had already become the Spy Smasher. But in that particular story, a Navy admiral named Corby telephoned Armstrong to let him know that Corby's daughter, Eve Corby, who was also Armstrong's fiancée, had apparently been killed in a plane crash, and that the plane had crashed as the result of the work of saboteurs and spies. And so Armstrong decided that he was going to take it upon himself to track down this ring of saboteurs and spies. And so he donned his Spy Smasher costume, which was at that time a pair of khaki-colored pants and a green shirt and red cape, a green mask and goggles, red belt and a gold buckle, red boots, and he took off after these particular spies and saboteurs. Now, one of the Spy Smasher's greatest inventions that he used for fighting crime was his gyro sub. Batman didn't have one particular vehicle that did everything. He had a Batmobile and a Batplane and a Bat sub and all this sort of thing, but the Spy Smasher's gyro sub was really all of those vehicles in one. The gyro sub could operate on land, it could operate in the air, sort of like a helicopter, and it was a submarine. It could work underwater. And so with this wonderful invention, the Spy Smasher went to the place where the spies and saboteurs had gone, and he realized that they were actually holding his fiancée, Eve Corby, hostage. She was not dead. And he also learned that the leader of these saboteurs and spies was a villain known as the Mask, who became Spy Smasher's chief nemesis for several issues of Wiz Comics. Of course, as you would expect, Spy Smasher was victorious. He rescued Eve Corby, and the Mask escaped to challenge him another day. So that was the first appearance of Spy Smasher in Wiz Comics number 1. And he continued in that particular title all the way to issue number 83 in March of 1947. However, there were some changes that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But one of the best known series of Spy Smasher stories, and probably one of the best reads if you want to read Spy Smasher from the Golden Age of comics, are the Spy Smasher stories that appeared in issues 16 through 18 of Wiz Comics, April through June of 1941. And in those stories, the Spy Smasher took on none other than Captain Marvel, and they battled. But it wasn't quite what you would expect. In those stories, Spy Smasher was defeated and kidnapped by the Mask, his chief nemesis of the time. And the Mask used a device called a Branograph to brainwash Spy Smasher, and he brainwashed him so effectively that Spy Smasher became a killer and a terrorist. And in fact, the mask did such a good job that upon releasing Spy Smasher from the machine and telling him to go out and kill, Spy Smasher actually turned on the mask and killed him. And that was the end of the mask. He died in that particular story and was no longer a force to be reckoned with in the life of Spy Smasher. But over the next several issues, Captain Marvel came onto the scene in order to try to subdue Spy Smasher, who had gone out under the effect of the Branograph and had destroyed bridges and destroyed military convoys and had tried to blow up a conference of naval and army officers and generally was engaged in terroristic activities to try to badly affect the war effort going on in the United States. And ultimately, Captain Marvel was successful and was able to reverse the effect of the Branograph. And Spy Smasher emerged back as a crime fighter and not a terrorist. And of course, as things were so simple in the Golden Age of comics, he was forgiven for the terrible crimes, including the deaths that he had caused, and was allowed to go on fighting crime. Spy Smasher later changed his costume a little bit, and it became all green. Green pants, green shirt. He had a red belt with a gold buckle, a red cape, and red boots. Still had his green hood and his mask. And he still used his wonderful crime-fighting tool, the gyro-sub, to fight crime. Now, Spy Smasher didn't only appear in the pages of Wiz Comics. He also appeared in the pages of his own title, Spy Smasher Comics. The first issue, number one, appeared in the fall of 1941, and the title ran through number 11, which was the February 1943 issue. The covers to Spy Smasher comics are pretty unique and pretty good examples of war covers during World War II. There were war covers on issues 8, 9, 10, and 11. Issue 9 had a Hitler, Tojo, and Mussolini cover, and number 10 had a Hitler cover. So if you're a fan of World War II war covers, check out Spy Smasher's 8 through 11. Spy Smasher also appeared in Mighty Midget Comics. If you remember, we talked about that several podcasts ago. That was a giveaway. He also appeared in a full-size comic called Well-Known Comics that was given away by the Samuel Lowen Company in 1944. Spy Smasher also appeared in America's Greatest Comics. Issue number 1 appeared in 1941, and Spy Smasher appeared in issues 1 through 6 and issue number 8. Now, issue number 1 is unique because it is the first time that all of the major Fawcett heroes appeared on the cover together on a comic book, and that is the case with the other issues of America's Greatest Comics. Now, with issue number 76 of Wiz Comics, that was the July 1946 issue, Spy Smasher changed, and he changed because no longer was there a need, at least to the comic reading public, for a Spy Smasher. We had the end of World War II that had occurred, and there was no more war effort going on, and so probably there was a decline in the readership because there was no more need for a Spy Smasher. So because the crime comics were becoming very popular, and did become very popular during this period of time on into the late 1940s, Spy Smasher was changed to Crime Smasher and remained Crime Smasher until his last appearance in Wiz Comics number 83. That was the March 1947 issue. Now, Fawcett must have been banking on the popularity of a crime comic and someone who was a Crime Smasher because in the summer of 1948, Crime Smasher number 1 appeared on the stands. Unfortunately, it was a one-shot, only one issue was ever published, and it faded off into obscurity after the first issue. Now, in addition to the mask, there were some other notable villains who were involved in the life of Spy Smasher before he became Crime Smasher. One was the America Smasher, sort of a Nazi character. He was a midget who wore a spiked male glove and ran around indicating that he was going to smash everything in sight with his glove, and he was a nemesis of the Spy Smasher and appeared in many Spy Smasher stories throughout the golden age of comic books. There was a woman villain, a woman named Dark Angel, who appeared in several Spy Smasher stories, and of course there was Baron Blitzkrieg, who also appeared in Spy Smasher stories as a villain in the golden age of comic books. So the Spy Smasher was a very colorful and very interesting character, and he was also a movie star, like many of the comic book characters that we've seen. The Spy Smasher actually was one of the earliest comic book heroes who made a movie appearance, and on April 12, 1942, Republic Pictures released a 12-part serial of The Spy Smasher. The Spy Smasher was played by Kane Richmond. Eve Corby, his fiancée, was played by Marguerite Chapman, and Admiral Corby was played by Sam Flint. Now, the chief nemesis or villain in the Republic serial was The Mask, who had appeared, as we mentioned previously, in the Wiz Comics appearances of The Spy Smasher. Those movie serials were later recut into a movie and edited into, it was a full-length movie that appeared in 1966 and called Spy Smasher Returns. Interestingly, Spy Smasher was the second, only behind Captain Marvel, to get a movie appearance in a serial during the golden age of comic books. So the Spy Smasher, as you can see, was a very popular character. He was second fiddle in a lot of ways in Wiz Comics to Captain Marvel, but he did hold his own in the pages of Wiz Comics and in his own title, Spy Smasher Comics. Now, where can you get these stories if you want to read them? Spy Smasher has really not survived too much into the modern age of comics. There have been a couple of appearances of the character in some of the recent, and I say recent, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s books. But if you want to read the Golden Age Spy Smasher stories, there is a place where they have been reprinted. I mentioned in our last show about AC Comics at accomics.com. Both Chris over at the Collected Comics Library had mentioned that, and Jackson Murdoch had left a post about AC Comics, and I want to thank again both of them for mentioning this particular company to me in the blog and through email. But AC Comics has published several books that contain reprints of the Spy Smasher stories that appeared in the Golden Age of Comics. And you can go, as I said, to their website, accomics.com, and check these out. But these magazines were called Golden Age Men of Mystery, Men of Mystery Comics, Golden Age Greats, so on and so forth. And they not only reprinted Spy Smasher, but many of the other Fawcett characters of the time, so you can find Bullet Man and Ibis the Invincible and Mr. Scarlet and Pinky and others reprinted in the pages of these particular publications. So if you're interested in reading some of the Spy Smasher stories as they appeared in the Golden Age of Comics, check out the AC Comics reprints, and I think you'll find them very enjoyable and a good read. Well, that's going to do it for the 33rd installment of the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast for this week. I'm sorry it's a little bit short. Normally we go about 30 minutes, but I've had an extremely busy week with work and other matters that have been going on in my life, and so I've had a very limited amount of time to devote to the podcast this week and the couple of weeks before that. Hopefully things will settle down a little bit, and I'll be able to give you a 30-minute show next week. If not, again, I apologize, but hopefully you've enjoyed learning a little bit about Spy Smasher, one of the great Fawcett characters from the Golden Age of Comics, and about the Marvel Masterworks All Winners reprints, reprinting issues 1 through 4 of that title. Please don't forget, you can always drop us an email at goldenagecomics@gmail.com. I've gotten many really nice emails from the listeners of the Golden Age of Comic Books, and I appreciate each and every one of them. Please don't forget to visit the blog page, goldenagecomics.libsyn.com. Leave a post there if you have something interesting or important to say about the Golden Age of Comic Books. We certainly would all love to read that. I think a lot of those posts have given me a lot of good information that I didn't have before in doing my research about the topics that we've covered on the show. Please don't forget to support the Grand Comic Book Database Project at comics.org. You can run on over there and look at some of the Spy Smasher covers from Spy Smasher Comics and America's Greatest Comics. I think you'll find those really great to look at. Also, don't forget to support the Actor Comic Book Fund, actorcomicfund.org, worthwhile endeavor to support the creators of comics who are not otherwise able to meet many of the needs that they have in their lives. Finally, don't forget to run on over to Podcast Alley and place a vote for the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast. The month is about over. In fact, by the time you hear my next podcast, it'll be a new month. So run on over to Podcast Alley and place a vote for the Golden Age of Comic Books. We're a little bit behind where we have normally been for the show. I'd like to see at least 10 or 15 more votes before the end of the month next week. So if you have a minute, I would greatly appreciate you running on over to Podcast Alley and placing a vote for the Golden Age of Comic Books. So thanks again for joining us this week, everybody, for the 33rd installment of the Golden Age of Comic Books. I hope everybody has a wonderful week. Get on out there and find some Spy Smasher reprints to read, or check out the All Winners Marvel Masterworks at your local comic shop. I know you won't be disappointed with that. Have a great week, and I look forward to talking to each of you about Golden Age comic books next week.